Thank you for joining us today at LifePoint Church. We believe Sundays are an opportunity to know God. For more information, including locations, service times, and small groups, please visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. Let's jump into the message.
Amen. Good morning, LifePoint Church. How you guys doing today? You guys doing all right? Buenos dias. Tell the person next to you, tell them buenos dias. My name is Elmer Cañas Jr. I'm one of your staff pastors here at LifePoint Church, and it's a great honor to be here with you guys and share the word of God with you guys today. First, I want to just personally thank you and welcome those of you that are visiting us for the first time. Maybe you're joining us on our online campus, and I want to say thank you for being here and choosing to be with us here at LifePoint Church. Amen. If this is your home church, like always, come on and make some noise. Come on. Oh, come on. Y'all could do better than that. Make some noise. Let's go. All right. There you go. And for those of you at Austin Peay, we want to say welcome. We're so glad that we get to worship together and receive the word together. Amen. I want to take a moment to say thank you for continually moving the mission and vision of our church forward. It's our desire that in everything that we do, from this platform to the parking lot, from small groups to the messages that we share, to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. And as part of our generosity, every week we bring our tithes to the Lord, and many of us, we're faithful, and you're faithful, and you're giving, and you give above and beyond your offerings. And we want to say thank you on behalf of our pastors, Mike and Stephanie, on behalf of our team. Thank you for being such a generous church. As Pastor Bo already mentioned, next week we have an opportunity to serve our community for Serve Day, March Saturday the 23rd. And if you're looking for a way to serve, you can talk to the team at the Big Red Wall, where you could download the Serve Day app as well. There's so many exciting things that I get to share with you guys today. At our Austin Peay campus, led by Pastors Jordan and Aaron Smalley, the campus is growing. People are getting saved and baptized. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Amen. And some exciting news for them. Our Kid Point team is getting ready to launch out at Austin Peay, and they're diligently working and preparing everything that they need to be able to serve the families at Austin Peay and those that will one day call their LifePoint at Austin Peay home. Amen. That's exciting. And many of you were able to join us via Facebook Live for our groundbreaking at our Tiny Town campus almost 2 weeks ago. Come on, that's coming up. And we got to worship together, we got to pray, and we got to witness Pastor Mike doing something special. Usually for a groundbreaking, you see like a golden shovel, right? They dig some dirt and they pose and they smile. Pastor Mike didn't want a golden shovel, he wanted a golden bulldozer. And it was like a dirty yellow, but we still got the job done. And now we're excited that we get to move forward, and we're ready for construction to happen at our Tiny Town campus. Over the last few weeks, you've heard Pastor Mike hint on our involvement with the church in the state of New York. And today I want to fill you in on some exciting news. Because of your generosity and the great stewardship of our team, our church has been privileged the opportunity to acquire a church in the city of Bayshore, New York, where we'll be able to revitalize a church that has existed for over 60 plus years. And now we get to lead people in Bayshore, New York, to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's praise the Lord, amen. We got a quick video for you guys, and this is it's on Long Island. And so this is a Google Earth view of the building and the community around it, Bayshore Assembly of God. And it's such a great privilege that we get to be able to reach that community and for Jesus, amen. Come on. And that's the church. Amen. This church has been gifted to LifePoint. It's debt-free. And now we get to take the vision of our pastors and the mission of this house to the state of New York. And today, Pastor Mike, he's there, our pastor, our lead pastor. He's at Bayshore Assembly preaching and sharing the mission and vision. And no, he's not moving to New York. He's just there today, leading them. And yesterday, Pastor Mike was there because with the church and the congregants, they were able to celebrate the pastor that had been there for over 42 years. And so and it's been awesome to just hear the stories. And now we're there. Pastor Mike Campbell, our missions pastor, who you saw in the picture, he's been out there for the last month. And he's been the interim pastor as we're praying and just waiting for God to bring us a campus pastor for our New York campus. And last week he came, this weekend, he's like, man, it's exciting to see what God's doing there. And, you know, people are starting to come. They're starting to, already our team's been proactive since we've been able to acquire the campus with everything from worship to the way we preach. preach, you know, everything we do, our cores, our values, everything. And he's like, last week we had three people give their life to Jesus. Come on. And so it's exciting. It's exciting. And we celebrate with those of you at Bayshore. And it's exciting to know that, you know, God's going to reach people no matter where they're at. Amen. Amen. And though the distance between us here in Clarksville, Tennessee, and Bayshore, New York might be vast, we can all make a difference in that community. And I want to encourage those of you that might have family in the Long Island area. Someone told me I have to say Long Island. And so just say Long Island. I'm from California. And maybe, you know, maybe you have family, friends out in that area and they don't currently attend church. Encourage them to join us at Bayshore Assembly. And also one of the things that we love doing here at LifePoint Church is supporting local business. And so our executive pastor of operations and finance is Dr. Tim Hager, who's here right now. Can you just wave at everyone in the room? Dr. Tim, he's begun establishing relationships with local vendors and businesses in the area. And if you have any contacts or connections, we'd love to hear from you. So after the service, just see Dr. Tim out at the Big Red Wall, and we'd love to connect with you. We're also coordinating a serve project in the near future where we'll be asking a team from Clarksville to travel up to Bayshore Assembly to help revitalize the facility. And that was a lot to say. Hey, but can we praise the Lord real quick? Can we thank him right now for all these incredible things? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that we get to gather together as your people, your children, to surrender our lives, every part of it, Lord, the good, the bad, the ugly. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you continue to lead this moment. May you speak to our hearts through your very word. And as we continue this conversation of words of wisdom, may your Holy Word draw us one step closer to you today. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. 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 Today we continue in our series, Words of Wisdom. And I love how we've been challenged by the word of God through the book of Proverbs over the last 6 weeks. Everything from how to walk with the wise to daily evaluating our hearts. Also, we were taught how fearing God isn't about living scared of God, but rather living in awe of who he is. Amen. We've been challenged and called to live a life of righteousness and have been warned to be attentive to the warning signs that God has posted along our path. The goal of the book of Proverbs is to save us from making decisions that can eventually hurt us, to give us instructions for life, to give us knowledge beyond our own attained education, to give us common sense through godly instruction. And today we get to visit a real famous scripture that many of you have heard and we've memorized and even highlighted. Some of y'all have tattoos. If you don't, you should get one. No, I'm not promoting you. You do that on your own will. And today I want us to focus our attention on the book of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8. And if you're taking notes, which we always encourage, the title of today's message is called Rest in God Begins with Trust in God. Rest in God begins with trust in God. If you'd open up your Bible, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. I have a question for us. How many phone numbers do you actually have memorized? Just like a few, right? Like I only know the ones that like I have to like put down like on field trip forums and stuff like that, because I don't want to go back into my phone. So it's like pretty much mine and my wife's number. And I still have memorized my, you know, you guys remember what a landline is? From when I was a kid growing up, the good old 818 number. You know, but there's no point. Why do you have to memorize numbers nowadays when we have our smartphones and it's all saved and stored on our devices, right? Do you guys remember when you would travel that you would have to purchase a map? You guys remember the paper maps? And you'd cross into another state and you had to go at the gas station and buy the map for that place. And my dad had this big book called the Road Atlas Map. How many of you still have that? Y'all keep that. That's like a collector's item. Does anybody use like Alexa in their home or Apple devices, Google, any of that? Like you get to control your lights and your vacuum and like your thermostat, your security system, all those things, even how far the dog can go in the yard, you know, all using these cool gadgets and devices. And with the advances in technology, our culture has gone to the incredible lengths to make it easy to control and to have information available at our fingertips. And now we've come to expect that from just about everything. But the truth is that no matter how good our technology, our apps, our connections improve, we will never be able to look into the future. We will never be certain of what tomorrow holds, but there is someone who holds our future. We see to the corner, but God sees around the corner. We see the hill, but God sees over the hill. He knows your beginning from your end, amen? And point number one in today's message is trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. It's so easy to rely on our own power and our own understanding. It's so satisfying to the flesh to be in control. We have to control everything. Control is one of the most cherished values in today's culture. Self-autonomy, self-determination, the belief that no one can make me do anything that I don't want to do. I get to choose. I get to call things what I want. I get to determine right from wrong. And we fight tooth and nail to maintain control. But to trust in the Lord is to believe and to embrace that what he is saying is good for me, that what he provides is more than sufficient, that where he leads me is the best path for me. To trust is to exercise faith. And to exercise our faith, we must relinquish control and surrender to the Lord and the leading of his Holy Spirit. Pastor Bo preached an incredible message on evaluating the heart. So I'm not going to get into too much detail regarding the heart, but when scripture says to trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's referring to trusting him at the core of who you are with everything that you are, not just in some things, but in all things. Somebody shout all. In all things, I will trust the Lord, not just with part of my life, but in every area of my life. As popular as the scripture has been over the centuries, as much as it has been woven into the fundamental Christian beliefs, into the ideologies that many of us grew up with within the church, this scripture, this proverb, it's countercultural to our times. The fact that I am being asked or instructed to give up control, to give up my direction, my sense of purpose, to relinquish control of my being to the Lord, hold up, that's crazy. Why would I do that? That's the internal struggle within us. The second part of this verse says, do not depend on your own understanding. The ESV version, it reads, do not lean on your own understanding, or in other words, do not rest. It's like just applying all your weight down. Do not rest on your own understanding. You could even say on your own experience, because our experiences are limited. Our experience can mislead us. And if we're not careful, the greatest enemy of our faith can be our experience. God calls us to trust him, to live this life in faith and faith in him. And when God calls us into obedience to follow him, our own experience can impose fear. Our own experience can impose doubt. Our own experience can paralyze us from moving forward and walking in the will of God for our lives. Because if we lean on our own understanding, on what once happened, on how I once felt, what I once experienced, now my own experience and understanding is keeping me from exercising my faith, from trusting in the Lord. And we become paralyzed by our own reasoning instead of trusting in him with all of our heart, because in our minds, that's what we think that makes most sense. Pastor Mike mentioned the following phrase in one of our meetings. I don't remember what we were talking about, but he just said this, and I've heard it before, but it caught my attention this week. He said, paralysis by analysis. And so I went and I looked it up. I did some research and, you know, Google. And it's a colloquial phrase that means the feeling of being unable to make a decision due to overthinking a problem. So when we overanalyze or overthink things, eventually we're unable to decide or make a final decision. How many of you have ever been on your way to lunch with your spouse, with your family, with your friends, and you ask the infamous question, you know where I'm going? What do you want to eat? How many of you get a response immediately? No, like, we don't. Like, takes forever to answer that question. It's the same, like, if you want to go watch a movie or if you got to pick out an outfit. My 14-year-old son's not here, but it's like his room's clean in the morning, and by the time we leave to school, it's like every outfit's on the floor. It's like, what happened? You know, paralysis by analysis. When there are many options, it can actually paralyze our decision-making ability. And forgive me if I'm over-principalizing this thought for the sake of this message, but the truth is that we live in a society that has created many false pathways to peace. It's created many false pathways to purpose, even to the extent that many believe that there's many pathways to heaven, but the truth is that there's only one, and his name is Jesus. Amen? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. These are the words of Jesus. There's only one way. And we wonder why our world continues to retract from good morals and godly standards, because we've chosen to appease the flesh instead of surrendering to the word of God. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So why settle? Why lean on our own understanding when it's limited? And God's ways and thoughts are way beyond anything you and I can imagine. So what if we chose to lean on God's understanding instead of our own? Point number two, seek and find. Seek and find. Proverbs 3, verse 6, it says, seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I love the Proverbs because most of them are pretty straightforward and quite simple to follow. In this verse, we get a glimpse of God as Father, characteristics that make him to be a father figure, the relational aspect of who he is, and the dynamic that he desires between God the Creator and his creation. I want you to hear this. His intent isn't to rule over us as his creation, but rather that he could reign with us as his children. Not only does God request our worship and faith in him, but God also desires to lead and guide us and to instruct us. As a father with a child taking the very first steps, he desires to assist, to help, and to lead us down a path that will benefit us in the long run. Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus is teaching on effective prayer, and he mentions, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. There's something about persistency. Being persistent is like a child asking for a toy in the store. How many have experienced that before? Yesterday, my wife called me. She's like, you better come get your son. When she says, your son, I know something happened. It's like a teenager asking for more screen time for their device. Our children are persistent when they want something, especially when they know it's within their rights, within our values as a family. Maybe they're persistently asking for something with an awareness that we, even as adults, would enjoy it or participate with them. It's like when my kids ask, hey, Dad, can we get some ice cream? And I have to be like, man, that's like the worst idea ever. Like, why would you even ask me that question? Like, how dare you ask me that? Go to your room. And I'm like planning, like, all right, man, what am I gonna order? You know, it's really how am I gonna convince my wife to get ice cream because I wanted to. The challenging part of this verse is not the seeking, nor is it being persistent and seeking, but rather that we're instructed to seek his will in all that we do. There's a scripture in the book of James that serves as a strong warning or a rebuke to us when we're chasing after our own way. James chapter 4, verses 2 to 5, it says, you wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for it what you have no right to. You're spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Verse 4 says, you're cheating on God if all you want is your way, flirting with the world every chance you get. You end up enemies of God in his way, and his way. And that's what makes Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 so challenging, because we would all love for God to illuminate the path of greatest success for each of us, to point us down the path of least resistance, the path that's full of joy, peace, love, riches, and great wealth. But the purpose of seeking God, of asking for direction, of desiring clarity, shouldn't be driven by what I desire, but rather what he wills for my life. I can only imagine seeing Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night that he was betrayed. And in Matthew 26, 39, it says he fell on his face. He fell on his face and he prayed saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Jesus tells his Father, let your will be done. Even the Son of God sought the will of the Father, knowing that he would face great suffering, yet through his suffering, through his pain, would come great purpose. Now, I remind you this morning that we might see to the corner, but God sees around the corner, amen? We might see even to the top of the hill, but God sees over the hill. And we might think that ending a certain relationship will be the end of all things, that making the hard right choice will get you canceled or lead you to despair and rejection. But can I remind us, church, that God sees beyond this chapter of your life? He already knows what your tomorrow holds. And while we continue to fight in chapter 4 of our story, God already previewed chapter 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. You know, he already knows what's coming. He's just waiting for us to let go of control and turn the page. The struggle is real. I'm not saying it's easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus, so it's not intended to be any easier for us, but to seek his will and to trust him in leading me and direct my path, that can be terrifying. It can be uncomfortable because we would have to release control of our tomorrow. We look at our lives and our current circumstances. We see pain, but God sees purpose. We see brokenness, but God sees beauty. We see despair, but God sees a life full of joy. We see defeat and we feel defeated, but God says he sees victory in your life. You see a mess, but God sees a message that will bring glory to his name. God has a way of turning our mourning into dancing, our sorrow into song. He understands that it's hard for us to follow him, but we must understand and trust that he knows what's best for us. He knows our beginning from our end, and he holds our future, amen? Proverbs 3, verse 7, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Point number 3, I titled the third point, Me versus God, because I believe in this. This is the most confronting verse of the four that we're studying today. And it's not from a stance that we're comparing ourselves to God, because in all truth, God is mighty. He's awesome. God's like up here and we're like too small. You know what I'm talking about? So it's not comparing ourselves with God. It's a decision. It's choosing. Is it going to be me or God? Is it my way or God's way? It says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. And I've already alluded to this, that our own understanding and experiences can mislead us. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. To be impressed with your own wisdom is to be prideful. Pride is arrogant and leads us to believe that we have something to offer to God other than a surrendered life. All we truly have to bring before the Lord is a life surrendered, a posture of obedience. But with pride, we dare come before God and say, yo, big top, hey, big man, like I have an idea. What if we did it my way? Because I think this is better. But remember that pride comes before what? Pride comes before the fall. And now listen to me carefully. God gives us the ability to learn and to retain information. He wants us to grow in knowledge and in wisdom. He created us with such amazing minds. But this verse is saying, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. The instruction in this proverb, it's not about knowledge. It's about rejecting your own opinions and to humble yourself before the God of heaven. It's about your opinion. The message translation reads, don't assume that you know it all. How many know-it-alls in the room? Come on, just be honest. It says, don't assume that you know it all. And then it says, run to God, run from evil. Run to God and run from evil. And when I read this, I think of two individuals in scripture. I think of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. Yet he went on to become the second in command of all of Egypt. He went from the pit to the palace. And second, I think of Samson with his long hair and supernatural strength. He was feared, greatly feared. Both men set apart by God, both with a purpose to fulfill, both truly loved by God. Yet one chose to run from evil and the other one ran towards it. Samson found great delight in abusing the power and strength that God had given him for his own benefit. He used his platform, his strength. He used his gift to get what he wanted, to have his way. He chose to run towards evil and he embraced sin. And eventually it led to the end of his strength and it would cost him his pride and his life. On the other hand, Joseph ran away from evil. He literally ran butt booty naked away from evil. He ran and he was avoiding sinning against God and he would not have sex with his master's wife. And eventually that would lead him to prison. But because of his integrity and his fear for the Lord, he went from prison to the palace. What the enemy intended for evil, God turned around for his good. I love what Joseph says, Genesis 39, verse 9. He's talking to Potiphar's wife right here because she wants him. And she's like, come here. She's attracted to him. You read the story. And he's confronting her. He's like, there is no one greater in this household than I am, because he was in charge of everything. And then he says, he's talking about his master. He has withheld nothing from me except you because you're his wife. And then he says, so how could I do such a great evil? And listen to what he says. How could I do such a great evil and sin against God? Listen to what he says. Take a glimpse into what's happening in his mind. He's not thinking of self-gratification. He's not thinking like, man, I could just get someone, like, you know, she's the hefa, you know. I didn't say heifer, I said hefa. That means boss lady in Spanish. She's not the heifer, like, you know, no. She's the hefa. So if the boss lady says, hey, come here, like, I guess I should just go, right? He's not thinking about self-gratification. He's thinking differently. And he's not even thinking about his master. He's not thinking about, man, what is he gonna say? He's gonna hate me. I'm gonna get fired. I'm gonna have to go file for unemployment. He's not thinking about any of that. He's not thinking about himself. He says, why should I sin against God? Come on. Why would I sin against God? His mind, his heart, that's the fear of the Lord. That's what that means, running to God. That's the fear of the Lord, putting him before your own desires and needs and wants and what you're fighting with on the inside. Why would I choose to sin against God? That's a genuine love and respect for God, to be in such awe of who he is, to be so grateful and thankful for the provision and his sustenance and for his love and his peace and his presence. When we truly fear the Lord, our actions are but a mere reflection of our love and admiration for him. So listen, so because I love him, why would I choose to sin against him? You will never fear the Lord until you crush your pride and reject your own opinions. And you will never despise sin in your life and in this world until you learn how to fear the Lord. Are we going to live life choosing our own truth because it fits our own narrative and it justifies our way of living? Or will we surrender to the sovereignty of God and his truth, to the truth found in his word? Which leads us to our final point. Point number 4, rest. Proverbs 3:8, it says, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. We must be careful not to confuse this verse as a promise from the Lord. In scripture, we see the promises of God to his people Yet when we read this proverb, it's letting us know the outcome or the result of following instructions. Just as sin can be forgiven, yet when you sin, there's still consequences. In the same manner, wise choices produce life-giving results in our lives. So healing and strength are the result of a good relationship with the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, later on in the chapter, verses 21 to 26, says this. It says, "Dear friend, guard clear thinking and common sense with your life. Don't for a minute lose sight of them. They'll keep your soul alive and well. They'll keep you fit and attractive. You'll travel safely. You'll neither tire nor trip. You'll take afternoon naps without a worry." Come on, somebody. "You'll enjoy a good night's sleep. No need to panic over alarms or surprises or predictions that doomsday's just around the corner, because God will be right there with you and he'll keep you safe and sound." Amen. When I choose to trust in the Lord and not on my own understanding, when I seek his will in everything and allow him to illuminate the path that he has ordered for me, when I reject my own opinions and surrender to the wisdom and grace of God, when I run towards his goodness and I turn my back on sin and on the lust of the flesh, then rest becomes inevitable. When I am no longer the center of everything, but he is, I can rest. When I am no longer in control, but he is, I can rest. Today, my prayer is that we can all learn to rest in God as we learn to trust in him more and more each day. Amen. If we can bow our heads and close our eyes, I know right now some of our dream teamers are stepping out of the room as we get ready for transitions. But if the rest of you would just remain in your seat as we conclude our time together, I want to challenge us not to let today's message just go in one ear and out the other, but allow it to reveal areas of your life where you can grow, where you can go grow closer and closer to the Lord. God's not looking for you to have it all figured out. That's not what this is about. He's just calling you. He's calling us closer to him. He's wanting to draw us near to him each day, one step at a time. And I wanna say two prayers together. If you've never made a commitment to become a follower of Jesus Christ, I wanna invite you to make that commitment today. And I'd love for you to just repeat this prayer out loud with me and along with the entire church, amen. I want you to say this, say, "God, I receive your word today. I choose to put my trust in you and not on my own understanding. I repent from my sin and my own ways. I turn to you. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died and rescued me from my sin, that he raised from the dead to give me victory. And today I believe that hope has entered my story. I accept your grace. I accept your salvation. Amen, amen." And finally, if today's message has stirred anything in you, just there's a stirring, just to line something up with his word, and you're ready to rest in God and exercise your faith in him like never before, I invite you to declare this next prayer. We're actually gonna put it on the screen. I'm gonna invite you to stand up right where you are, because I want you to get a good breath in your lungs, you know, so you can be a little louder before we head out. And I want you to declare this prayer with me. Say, "God, I'm all in. And I'm all yours. I surrender my own understanding to you. And I choose to trust you each and every day in all things. In the mighty name of Jesus." And the church said, amen. Come on, can we praise the Lord? God is good, amen. God is awesome.
We're so happy that you joined us today. We hope that you've been inspired and challenged by today's message. If you'd like to grow in your walk with Jesus, stay connected, or partner with us through generosity, be sure to visit our website at lifepointchurch.tv. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you next Sunday.